we having a retro party?
Yes.
Nice bell bottoms.
Thank you, Wendy. I'm glad somebody finally noticed them. Hi, everybody. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. Welcome to the show. It's Thursday. Should be a good show. Judy Gold will be on. Comedian Judy Gold, who's been with us in the past. She's always great. Dean Richards will be here. And lots of fun surprises, which means we're not sure what's coming up.
All right.
We'll find out soon. Last night, I watched the guys from BTS. They were on Stephen Colbert's show.
Right after their sold-out show at Soldier Field.
Right after their sold-out show.
Soldier Field.
Yeah. And I have to say, and you and I have discussed this in the past, we both saw them, I think, for the first time on Saturday Night Live a couple of weeks ago. They're infinitely entertaining, and I can't put my finger on exactly why, but they're so entertaining.
Well, they're cute to look at. They dance well, and they lip-sync very well.
They really do dance well. They really do. I mean, usually that stuff goes right through me. But Colbert did something really interesting at both the beginning, in the first segment of the show and in the last segment of the show. The segment was in black and white. He came out as Ed Sullivan.
Uh-huh.
He explained that it was exactly 50 years ago to the day. How did he word it? Exactly 50 years ago today, minus 4 years, 3 months, 2 weeks, and 2 days, the Beatles appeared for the first time on Ed Sullivan's show. So the whole thing was done very much in the same kind of a look. He came out as Ed Sullivan. It was in black and white. They came out in attire that was similar to what the Beatles wore 54 years ago.
Just a black suit, black tie, just very dapper.
And I don't know whose idea that was, but it made things almost weirdly come full circle because there are some similarities in that. They're from a different land. They come to the United States.
They
take America by storm.
I mean, I'm surprised they played along.
I think they did because during the interview section, he was talking about the Beatles to them, and they just spontaneously, all seven of them, started singing Hey Jude, and it was great. It was really entertaining.
Do they speak English?
They speak broken English. And actually, one or two of them seem to speak it more than the others. I don't know who's who in the group. I'm sorry.
I don't know who's who in the Jonas Brothers, and there's only three, so.
I actually, like yesterday, I go, I should pay attention to their names because, much like when the Beatles came for the British invasion, if you didn't know all their names, people would go, what's wrong with you? How can you not know their names? So I'm like, I really should know their names.
That would be weird. You're the wrong sex and you're too old.
There's a guy named Jimin, J-I-M-I-N. There's a guy named V. There's a guy named J-Hope. I don't know all seven of them, but I'm like, I should, just for the sake of what I do, I should know their names.
R-M, Jin, Suga, or Suga.
Yeah.
J-Hope, Jimin, Jungkook.
Yep. He's my fourth favorite.
Is he the Ringo of the band?
Yeah, he's the Ringo of the band. But there was one guy who explained that he's their spokesman, and he spoke pretty good English. They don't even need to speak English, you know? They're just, it's such a hot commodity that all they need to do is exist. There was a lot of screaming, much like the Beatles. And I always wonder about that because I'm such a Beatles fan. I've always wondered, like, when I see footage of them at Shea Stadium, what just made people scream? Like, why? Like, let's say the thing that you love the most was right in front of you. Would you scream?
Well, they were young girls who were in love with them.
Yeah, it's about the age of the... I took four girls to a Hannah Montana concert.
Yeah.
And I'm not kidding you, I was deaf when I left.
And the thing is, if you talk to some of the women, or it has been quoted that some of the women at this Beatles concert, they didn't even hear the music.
Right, you couldn't hear it.
Because everybody was screaming, and they were too.
Right. But when you see the footage of the Beatles at Shea Stadium, you see girls, like, their arms are up in the air, and they're holding their heads, and they're just screaming, and they can't contain, and you go, I get that you're excited, but what caused that reaction, not just from one or two of them, but from almost everybody in the concert venue? Everybody's just screaming. I don't know how that happened.
Well, you're not a young girl.
Well, thank you.
Right, but how do you say that? How do you go from being excited to being out of control?
Right.
Yeah, but,
like,
you said
I've
it yourself.
There's times where you go, this is great. Boy, is this great.
Right.
But is your gut reaction, I better scream at the top of my lungs for 90 minutes.
Listen, Wendy, I witnessed it. I didn't understand it.
Okay, but as you mentioned, you did witness it. But, I mean, these girls saw, like, a rock band for the first time ever. So,
yeah.
I mean, it was pretty exciting.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you wouldn't scream for Dion.
Dion and the Belmonts?
Yeah.
No.
Maybe they did. But the Beatles, that was the Beatles.
Yeah.
Had you been in that era and, you know, would like I your screamed? Babysitter took you to that show, you would have screamed along with the rest of them.
You know, what's funny is we, here in Chicago, we only think that that tour was consisted of two shows, right?
Right.
Shea Stadium and Comiskey Park.
Right.
That was it?
No, I'm sure they
there,
went all
no,
over.
There were more.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But those are the ones that get all the press, right?
It's the only ones we think ever hear
right.
about.
Right. They, I'm sure they had a full tour. But I've been at shows where people I really love are close by. You and I were at a U2 show together. Did you see me scream at any point during that show?
I have never seen you let go and enjoy a show.
Well, enjoy
so,
it
no,
me
you
just,
would never scream.
It's me just going, oh, there's the guys, and they're singing the songs that I know. Yay. But I wouldn't scream.
How about at home when the mail comes and you get a new action
then
doll?
I scream. Yeah. There's some screaming there. And then my wife sees what I pay for it, and there's more screaming. A lot more. All right, we will take a break. We'll discuss this and other things. Would you like to jump in? We'd love to hear from you. We're at 312-981-7200. More after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder. Last night, if you're just joining us, last night I watched BTS, the Korean pop sensation, on the Stephen Colbert show. I do have to say this also. I was amazed, and this is the second time that I've seen them. I saw them on Saturday Night Live about a month ago. Then I watched them on Colbert last night. So they do these highly choreographed dances where it seems so random, but that's the game of the dance, is it just seems like it's spontaneous, but it's not. It's extremely well choreographed. My mom was a dance teacher. I have zero of that in my genetic encoding, zero of it, because every time I watch them, I go, they're going to crash. I'm sure they're going to knock into each other, but they don't do it somehow. And I think, how many songs must they have? They have, I don't know if you know this, this year alone, well, I have to say this year because this is the first year they've been a United States entity. This year they have three albums, three number one albums, this year.
Albums or singles?
Albums. It's amazing.
I can't believe how much I liked them when I watched them on SNL. Mike Poe is in the studio. You're all things digital around here.
Hello.
And video.
Are you actually here, Mike, or are you a holographic image of yourself?
I'm here.
Oh, good. Good, good, good.
All right. You came in the studio after we went to commercial break and said you and your wife went to see BTS at Soldier Field.
We did.
Can I just ask why?
Well, my wife actually discovered them about like 5 years ago.
Wow, she's ahead of the game.
We thought. That was
how did she do that? Because they weren't getting any press here in the U.S. five years ago, were they?
So no, that's a long story. Just all this other stuff, but thanks to the internet, you know, you click a thing, you click another thing, and you know, eventually you get somewhere.
Did you surprise her with tickets to see, or did she know this was coming?
She knew it was coming, but like I kind of, you know, pushed her to let's go. They're like they put on a good show from what you see on TV.
Yeah,
see if they're any good live. And you know what, they did.
You're not old, and your wife's not old, but were you the oldest people there?
No. I don't even know how to describe what I experienced there. In
little
the sense that
girls, obviously
super. Mostly girls, but a super diverse crowd. Just every age, ethnicity.
Yeah,
I mean, it was just, the appeal was for everybody.
Yeah,
it was a really fun, upbeat show. I will say, so they had in Korean like music, they do this thing where they sell these little light sticks that the fans wave around, right? They had them on sale for $55.
Oh, bargain!
And I was like, wow, that's a lot
of
money.
Did you get
one? No. I said, $55? Who's going to pay that? Turns out
everybody was.
Turns out we were maybe like in the bottom 1% of people who did
for
not
$55.
Have
$55. Yeah. But listen to me, and I just have to say, Bill, you took your two daughters, imagine this, to the show. They want a glow stick because everybody else has it. You know you get it.
Yeah. So now, but here's the thing with this one. This one is a Bluetooth enabled.
Yeah.
And so before the show, you go and you to a kiosk there and you sync it to the computer that's running the lighting grid for the stadium.
Oh my God.
And then when you have it flashes with the music and it changes colors and all this stuff.
That's
so then
pretty
when
cool.
you sync it up, you type in like where your seat is
yeah
too, So there was like designs happening.
Oh,
like,
my God. Like, I love that.
Like, it was kind of subtle to see it, but there was like pinwheel designs in some
sections. I would have paid $100 for my glow stick.
So it was really cool when you saw it all like together. Like it made me feel like halfway through the show, I was like, man, I'm an idiot. Why didn't I buy a glow stick?
Although if they have it hooked up to an app, why don't they have your phone glowing, you know?
Because then you wouldn't pay the $55.
Right. Yes, there's that. Oh. And also the battery thing. I mean, they, you know, it's like.
So it's similar. When we were kids, we would go to the Shriner Circus and we would buy a flashlight for $4 and just shine it, and it was broken by midway through the
exactly
show.
Exactly the same.
Almost the same thing.
Sort of. Yeah.
So thoroughly entertaining.
Very. Yeah. They were very. And you know what? Going into the show, we kind of were hesitant about the fact that, are they going to sing live?
Is, oh. You know,
and if anything, they sang everything live.
They did.
It was less dancing than we expected, actually, which was interesting. It was
So when they sang the songs without the choreography, mm-hmm. did they just stand
still?
Yeah,
they kind of ran around, fan service stuff. You know,
oh, they
the
did.
Kids who paid,
did they reach out and grab hands?
Not really, but they did like kind of like sit on the edge of the stages and like kind of wave and smile at
Mike,
people.
With most of their songs, the song is in Korean, yeah. but every once in a while, there's just a phrase.
Yeah.
They'll just go, move over, like that, and then it's mm-hmm. back to Korean yeah. singing. Is that how it is with all their songs?
Yes. Yeah, it's pretty much all of them, which is funny for me. Like, sometimes I just love the words that are in English, you know? Because sometimes you're like, what's the context of this?
Right, it didn't make any sense at all.
So it's a lot of fun to listen to it. But I will say this. I knew the least words. Like, everyone knew the Korean lyrics.
Really?
People were shouting along with every word to every song. Like,
yeah.
I told you, like, we've known about BTS for years now, and I went into this being like, well, we could probably be in, like, the mid-range of people. Like, there's probably definitely people who are more hardcore about their music than us, for sure, you know? And went in, and I said, like, we're, like, in the bottom 50% of fans.
Oh.
Like, it's one of those things where it's like, I'd be embarrassed to say that I'm a BTS fan after experiencing how big of fans their fans are. It was
fans
pretty
of
intense.
All levels. And
yeah.
think about the Beatles going to Hamburg and stuff. Those people couldn't understand. I mean,
right.
they're singing in
right.
English, so
right.
I never really thought about that.
We were mentioning the screaming factor with the Beatles. The same thing goes on with BTS, right? Where the kids watching them are just screaming for no reason other than to scream, right?
Not during the show so much, just because they're screaming along with the music. So
right.
it's one of those things where, I mean, there is a lot of screaming. They do, like, you know.
Is it when they tell them it's $55
band.
For the lights? Is that
yeah,
what
yeah, exactly. They are a boy band, so it's about cute boys is the overall selling point. So
they're adorable.
They play these like videos during the show while they do like costume changes and stuff like
yeah.
that, where it's just little videos of them smiling at the camera and holding colorful Aww. Objects and stuff like that. And girls were screaming during that for sure. You know,
but they're more energetic and do more for me than like an NSYNC.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's definitely the Beatles comparison is somewhat apt because there's reps there. Like, they've been doing this a long time
yeah.
and put in the work. And the one thing that people don't understand about them is they come from a very small label in Korea. Like, they were like kind of like the ragtag group of guys who kind of worked their way up.
Oh, really?
And became the biggest thing to come out of
yes.
there. So yeah. it's like they're not like big money put behind them. Like, they're put together and they kind of grew up together and like kind of forged
yeah.
this bond. And
look at
work.
You. Are you president of their fan club now?
No. I told you. I found out I'm not. I found out people would laugh me out of the room.
There's a guy in the band and his name is J-Hope. And twice mm-hmm. during the Colbert appearance yesterday at the beginning of the show and the end, he said, I hope, you hope, I'm J-Hope.
Yeah.
And the crowd goes nuts. And I go, does he just, is that his thing?
That's his thing.
He
yeah,
just does that all the time?
Show, from what I've right. seen. Plus, they all have limited English.
Yeah.
But
except the guy who's their, I don't
yeah.
know who their spokesman guy is.
RM.
That's the guy, yeah.
Yeah.
He spoke quite a bit of English.
Pretty fluent English.
Yeah.
God, listen to two grown men talking about this. This is really cracking me up.
Mike and I are going to follow them now around the country. We're going everywhere.
Out of New York.
Yep,
BTS heads.
Yep, that's us.
Oh my God. Well, glad you had fun.
It was fun.
It's funny listening to us grown-ups talking about it, but
sure.
they really are so talented.
Yeah. Wendy, several people are texting. They want to know when you and I are coming out with our own line of glow sticks. That's soon, right? We'll have those pretty soon.
I would love that.
And we'll sync them up to the show.
Only $40.
So every time you do an Owen Wilson impression, they'll glow. It'll be amazing. It'll be so much fun.
Far out.
Oh, they're glowing. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
Thank
it's
you.
Mike Poe, guys.
Well, he went down to dinner in his Sunday best. Excitable boy, they all said.
Yep, he's an excitable boy, and he's our excitable boy, David Hochberg, Vice President of Lending at Team Hochberg at Homeside Financial. You can call 855-56-DAVID or go to 56david.com. How are you, sir?
I'm fantastic.
Last time you came up, I told you I got a letter from some mortgage company or something saying, why are you paying what you're paying? We can reduce your payment.
Yeah.
And you looked into it, and it was...
It's a joke. It's an absolute joke, because another one of our clients, a friend of mine, got a similar letter. He owed $266,000 on his mortgage. So he calls me up, and he's like, hey, I got this letter. I could get down to 3.75 on a 15-year fixed loan. I go, it's not realistic. He goes,
and they make it seem like you're going to save like $1,500 a month.
Well, it gets better. He goes, I go, sure. I'm like, great. And I could get into a pair of 34-inch pants. I go, it's not happening. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, it says it here in writing. This is what they could do. I said, what are they charging you in closing costs? $12,000. I go, that's a little high.
It said that in the letter?
It said in the offer from the lender,
yeah,
we could get you a 15-year fixed loan,
yes,
at 3.75 with $12,000 in closing costs.
Boy, you don't read the fine print, do you?
No, he read it, but he's all excited, right?
Still?
Okay, he's all excited. I could get 3.75. He's like, well, where are our rates? I'm like, well, they're in the high threes, low fours. He's like, well, that's ridiculous. I'm like, well, why is that ridiculous? Because I've got 3.75. I said, well, that's ridiculous, because you got to pay 12 G's to get it. I said, tell you what, instead of going back and forth and playing all of this nuttiness back, let's run the numbers. It's simple math.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like, he had a $266,000 more. That was his balance.
Mm-hmm.
I said, if we add $12,000 to your loan, you got a $278,000 mortgage at your wonderful rate of 3.75, like you're all enamored with. Your payment's $2,022 a month. Okay? That's with your wonderful 3.75% loan with 12 G's in closing costs.
Mm-hmm.
I go, tell you what, why don't I quote you what I would do with a full closing cost credit? Because some people like to come on this station and advertise there's no closing costs, which is crap. There's closing costs with every loan. I go, I'll give you a full closing cost credit, put you in at 4.125. Your loan stays at $266,000. You don't add $12,000 to your mortgage. I go, which would you take? He's like, it's a lower rate. It's much better. I go, my payment.
It's all about the payment.
Is 1984, which was a great year, by the way. Just want to have a lot of fun in 1984.
Thanks, David.
So I go, you can pay 12 G's, get your rate of 3.75, walk around the locker room without your towel on. Look at me. Look at me without my towel on the locker room. I'm all muscular and other things going on.
You're losing your mind.
I've got the low, but this is what people think.
I guess.
I've got the low rate at 3.75, but you paid 12 G's, but you're paying $40 more a month.
All right, that doesn't make sense. And the extra $12,000 on top of it.
And the extra 12 grand. I'm giving you a slightly higher rate,
mm-hmm,
3/8 of a point higher, with a full closing cost credit, and your payment's lower. So all of this stuff where everybody get, like your letter. Oh,
I got sucked into it.
I could get you down this low. Well, sure, but what's it costing you? What's the cost to get down that low? It's about the payment, folks.
Right.
Every single thing comes down to, what is it costing you? I go, tell me how this makes sense. It was a 15-year fixed loan. I said, tell me how it makes sense adding 12 grand to your loan and paying more.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Then if
all.
I kept your loan amount exactly where it is with a slightly higher rate and a full closing cost credit, and my payment's less.
Right. But in his mind, he heard the lower rate and thought that was
Listen, these big banks, okay, they make billions of dollars every single month, not by being stupid. They've got marketing departments the size of this floor here, the 17th floor that GN's on, filled with marketing people and actuary people and people that, you know, psychiatrists that get into people's heads, and they're like, sell the low rates. I walked into my bank, I walk into Chase and make a deposit, mm-hmm, and I see a 30-year fixed loan on the 60-inch LEDs behind the bulletproof glass and all that stuff. I'm like, well, that's a real low rate. So I'm looking at it, and I look at the fine print. Discount origination points point this, added costs. Right? It has to be a certain loan to value, 60% loan to value, escrowing, and all this other stuff that I understand.
Right, but I wouldn't.
You don't understand it. We know Bill hasn't got a chance of understanding it.
I don't even know who you are. Who are you?
It's Thursday, so yeah, don't worry. The right. Soup's on the way, Bill.
All right.
We've got the car coming to take you home after the show. It's fine.
All right.
But people don't know. They see these huge, gigantic numbers.
Yes.
on a LED when they go into the bank.
It looks tempting.
Or they get this letter from somebody they have no idea who it is.
Mm-hmm.
Or they click on a link and they go to a website and you can get this.
Right.
And then, bam, I had a guy, $17,000 from Rocket Loving Lending. I'm like, he's like, wait, did I hear you right? He's like, they're like, yeah. I was like, well, I heard your ads and I didn't think that was a realistic amount of money to pay for closing. I'm like, well, thank God you called.
Yeah.
Because for $17,000 in closing costs, which is ridiculous, I could get you a ridiculously low rate because you're paying three discount. He had a $400,000, $500,000 loan, so they were charging him.
Uh-huh.
A lot of money to buy the rate down. And when you run the numbers, folks, it doesn't make sense.
That's why we need you. That's why people need to call 855-56-DAVID. If you get that letter, if you walk into a bank and see that scroll that says, you know, this low interest rate, call David first because he'll help you.
And listen, if the bank's got a great deal, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a great opportunity for you. Take it.
How often does that happen?
Every once in a while.
Does it happen?
Yeah,
I get
got a call from WGN listener. Hey, my son's getting ready to close.
Mm-hmm.
This is what he was quoted. This is what it is, and this is blah, blah, blah. And the rates have ticked up since the guy started. He was on the way to closing, or he's closing the next day. He sent his father the closing disclosure to review. He's like, hey, my son is closing tomorrow. I just wanted to go over these numbers. If it's okay, I'm like, sure. So I call him, and I'm just like, listen, everything looks good. You know, the market back then, I might have gotten him an eighth of a point lower. Who knows? I might have been able to save him $200 in closing costs. Who knows? I go, but it's a fair opportunity. It's a fair offer. So I would just tell him, you know, start it all over and do another 30 days. And it doesn't make sense. I'm like, it compared to where we're at today, it's a good opportunity for your son. You know, you have him close. He's good. It's a safe bank. It's good. But people get, you know, It's the spinning plates and the fire hoops, right? People are focused on the spinning plates and the fiery hoops, and they're not worrying about all the details of what's in the transaction, right? They're all like enamored with what's going on and all the sensory, and the sensory triggers are the low interest rate, which is a half a point to 3/8 of a point lower than what you could get in the market without paying $12,000 in closing costs.
We have to take a break, but when we return, David, you want to take our listeners
on a journey.
On a journey.
It's a 30-second journey.
Oh.
I'm a quick journey provider. A verbal journey provider.
A verbal journey provider.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll take a break. We'll get some
prepare for a verbal journey.
And then a verbal journey is coming.
And then I want to talk about a 50-year-old couple, WGN listeners, who are severely credit challenged, never was taught credit, listening right now, and what we're doing to help them enhance their credit so they could buy a home by the end
of
the
year. You
helped me. I know.
I couldn't refi when I first contacted you. You helped me get my credit rating up. And
Him and his wife are in a similar situation, 50 years
it
old.
Happens.
He called me up. He's like, I'm a complete disaster. And this is his words, not mine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a complete disaster. I've let my family down. I need help. I hear your ads on the radio. Please help me. I said, all right. And this is what we're doing to help him. So let's go to
all
break.
That
and we'll be back
a verbal journey.
And a verbal journey by David Hochberg.
Can't wait for this. All right.
855-56-DAVID. It's Bill. It's Wendy. It's 720 WGN. All right. Are we going on a journey?
Yeah, we're going on a 30-second journey.
David Hochberg, Vice President of Lending of Team Hochberg at Homeside Financial.
All right, are you ready for the journey?
Yeah.
If you're driving or operating heavy equipment or flying airplanes or doing something that you need to have your eyes open, just keep your eyes open, please, for safety reasons.
Good.
If you're not, please close your eyes. And I'm just going to take you on a 30-second journey.
All right.
You hop in a brand new car, right? You're cruising down the road. It's a sweet car. You've been saving for it. You love it. That's your 30-year fix at 3.5%. Oh, it's great. It drives well. It handles well. It takes the turns really well. I'm driving behind you, watching you to make sure you're staying in the lanes. All of a sudden, you stop. You load up $40,000 worth of credit card debt. Slows your car down a little bit because you added a little more weight. Okay, you keep going down. Boom! You have a medical challenge. There's $10,000, $15,000 worth of medical bills you didn't think. But so now it's slowing down your car even more because you're hot, ready to go. Hotster, rodster, roadster, whatever it is now not as hot anymore because you're running out of room because you got all this debt. Now you're going down the road. Boom! You lose your job. You got to take on more credit card debt to get through it. You're going down. Hey, you know, cruising along. All of a sudden, brakes go out. Boom! Right through the guardrail, and you're just hanging there. right? You're in your beautiful little 30-year fixed loan at 3.5. I can't leave it because I love it. But you're loaded with debt, and I'm following behind you. So I pull up. I open my trunk. I take my shirt off because that's what I do. Oh. I put on my safety gear, and I get dressed in my safety gear, and I go back down in my scaffolding equipment, and I'm pulling you out of your car.
Yeah.
You got your choice.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you want to stay in your beautiful little 30-year fixed car with all the debt in the back that obviously has got you completely out of kilter and has driven you off the road and jump into what we have saving for you? We've got a nice minivan up top. It might not be the sexy 3.5% 30-year fix, but it's got plenty of room. There's no debt. There's no student loan debt. There's no credit card debt. There's no car loans, right? But it's a minivan. It's not your little Sportster. 3.5% 30-year fixed loan you took out 7-8 years ago when everything was falling apart. So what the point I'm trying to make here is, and I thought about this as I'm bumper to bumper for hour and a half on the Edens on the way in and on the Kennedy is that people, the biggest pushback that we get on Team Hochberg is, I've got a 30-year fixed loan at 4% at 3.75. I don't want to leave it. I'm like, it's about the payment. Forget about what car you have, right? So again, there's your sports car. It's a beautiful car, nice, fast. You've got your wheels. You've got your leather. You got your CD player. The beautiful sound system. You got 70 to 100 grand in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, would you rather cut that beautiful car with all the debt and come up top to safety with me in a new vehicle that gets you from point B to point C? Because point A to point B was through the guardrail.
Right.
Now I'm going to be Phil Jackson and take you from point B over to point C. Okay, point A to B was Doug Collins. And I come in and take you out of the seat, put you into a new vehicle, and we win 7 championships or however many championships they won. What do you want to do? Right? You want to stay in your nice little car loaded with debt? Or you want to come?
You want
to
breathe
safety.
Easy and get rid of that debt. And how do you get rid of the debt if you're challenged?
You just call. All
you were
here.
Talking about a.
I got a 50-year-old couple called me up.
This is a separate story.
This is a separate story.
Is the highway filled with honey, David?
Yes.
That
well, that was
sometimes.
Yesterday. It's all cleaned up.
Oh, it's
thanks
right.
for paying attention.
Just curious.
So,
thank you for paying attention.
I listen all day long, and I like John Williams. All his goofy things.
Right,
so here, so a 50-year-old guy calls me up. He's got 400, 500 credit score, which is pretty bad. His wife has got 640, 630, 650, which is kind of like right middle range. Added up, he's like, I got to buy a home. I've got my kid. I've got this. He's got other responsibilities. He's like, nobody's ever taught me how to be responsible.
Mm-hmm.
So long story short, we took all his debts, listed it on a piece of paper. This is what you owe. This is the balance. This is the limit. This is the payment. Here's all your wife's stuff. Same thing, right? Collections, he needs 37 G's. To wipe himself completely clean.
Mm-hmm.
$37,000. It's costing him to carry that debt and his mm-hmm. wife $1,889 a month, which is the equivalent
horrible.
Of a $350,000 mortgage payment.
Yeah.
Okay? This is how I look at things, right?
Yeah.
So he's going to hopefully get a loan from his old man who wants to help him out to completely scrub down all his debt.
Right.
Then we're going to put him into some loans that I have at a bank that will rebuild his credit. But he called me. I met him yesterday. Okay. I said, this is where you're at. I said, don't waste my time. Okay. I will help you, but don't give me this lip service. How are you going to do it? He's like, dude, I'm on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked at him. He sat in the front seat of my car. I met him on the west side of Chicago. And we went through everything. I'm like, it's 37 G's. You get me 45 from the old man because I need $8,000 to do a little credit enhancement. And you're going to eliminate $1,889 a month.
That's huge.
Which is what his new mortgage payment with taxes and insurance are going to be. So this is a 50-year-old man. This is not being taught anywhere. Not in our schools. Listen, my kids go to GBN, great schools, District 225, great schools. Nothing about credit. Colleges, nothing
they
about
credit.
They should
have a class. We had consumer ed in high school that taught you how to balance a checkbook.
Right.
Well, things have gone beyond that. They should have at least a chapter.
Money management.
And I will be more than happy to come to schools and to colleges and community colleges and to companies. If you want to have speaking, you know, just have a sandwich for me and a nice cold soda, I'll be fine. But this is what's going on today.
It makes me so nervous hearing that because it's like all these numbers, all these things. I don't understand it. That's why I called you, and you're very honest. That's all I'm going to say.
That's it. Here, there's probably 40 stories in this building here, 25, 30, 40 stories.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 60% of the people in this building right now are carrying more than $20,000 with a credit card debt. Easy.
Do you think some of the kids at this school would be afraid of you? Just like a small percentage.
He would change his delivery.
You'd be more pleasant.
I would bring comfort dogs.
Oh, you would. Right.
I would bring the golden shepherds. Right. What are they? Yeah, the golden retrievers.
Yeah.
And they would be protection for the kids.
Yes.
So they get a little nervous. You know, they're zippy, go over and talk to Sally and Johnny and lick their face. Yeah. Yeah.
What's a reasonable closing cost for $50,000, says a texter?
What is reasonable closing cost for $50,000?
$50,000 mortgage.
$50,000 mortgage. Well, the challenge that you have with smaller mortgages are it's tough to make a profit, so people charge extra on that. You're probably looking at $3,000 to $4,000 in closing costs. Once you get above $100,000, you don't have to charge as much in closing costs. You got to make it someplace, and I'm just being honest, right? And I tell people all the time, if you have smaller loan amounts, you're most likely better off to go to a community bank, because the community bank will give you a better rate, because they have to lend to the community, open up an account with that bank, and they typically take care of you and offer you lower closing costs, because they have to lend within the community that they have the bank.
855-56-DAVID is the number to call. You're also having a contest, correct? Very quickly.
Yes,
it's not a contest, though, David.
No, it's a sweepstakes. Thank you, Bill.
It's a sweepstakes.
A teacher down at Oak Hill Elementary School in Bartonville, Illinois, took the check. She won the mortgage. I schlepped over 400 miles back and forth.
Yeah.
She took the check and she's a music teacher, donated it back to the music department to buy kids in her class new percussion instruments.
That's fantastic.
How awesome is
that?
That's
so nice.
So if you go to Feist, and she didn't do a loan with me, her loan that I gave her, the mortgage payment, we didn't originate the loan. So to win a free mortgage payment, to enter the free mortgage payment sweepstakes, you have to go to 56davidwin.com and to register. Katie Salerno, Arlington Heights, won a free rent payment.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't own the building that she rents in. All she did was go to 56davidwinrent.com to win a free rent payment. So I don't know why more people don't do it.
All right.
And I won't yell at you.
David, thank you.
I will. Thank you for having me.
It's David Hochberg, everybody. Again, David, if they want to reach you.
855-56-DAVID. Go to 56david.com. And we're talking about doing something with another show late night to make regular appearances to have us fix segment. I'm going to have a meeting on that right now.
Good luck.
So the more to come.
We're still on the air.
Is that a meeting you're supposed to talk about,
yeah,
David?
I'm excited to announce, because now we have to do something, because I've been doing stuff here for 10 years. All right. So there.
Thank you, David.
No problem.
Coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it.
Judy Gold is here making a return visit to the show. She's been with us a couple times. Judy, I'm going to put the ball in your court. Do we want happy Judy Gold, or do we want slightly miffed Judy Gold? It's up to you.
I didn't know there was a happy Judy Gold. So that's if we can find her, that confused me right there.
We were saying off air that life has become something like a Handmaid's Tale, pretty much, hasn't it?
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even, like, I have this joke in my act about how, like, since he became president, like, I used to have this morning routine, you know, where I'd wake up and, you know, I'd open my eyes, I'd go to the bathroom, I'd pee, I'd brush my teeth, I'd make coffee, I'd read the paper. Since he became president, this is how my day starts. I wake up, I open my eyes, and then I have this inner dialogue.
Don't look at your phone.
Oh, God.
Do not look at the phone.
It goes back. Don't look at your phone. I know, but something happened. Someone's getting arrested. Judy, there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
I know, but something's going on. I know something's, like, there's a hearing. I know, but Judy, you have to just realize you have no control. I know, but what did he do? What did he do now?
That's how I start every day. See how I moved away from the microphone for you?
Yeah, that's great. Yeah,
very professional.
But that is exactly, it's like, every day you wake up and like, if you watch MSNBC, that's the worst, because you think he's going to be out by 2:30 in the afternoon. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wake up, I'm like, oh, there's no way. There is no way he is going to survive this. And I don't understand, like, anyone else would be gone.
Right. Here's the part that Wendy and I have discussed many times and we don't understand. Even if we were the most ardent fans and supporters of his, at some point you have to look at what's what and go, oh, I've made a mistake. Obviously made some sort of mistake.
Some people do. Some people think they made a mistake.
But it's like, you know, they like his quote-unquote policies.
Yeah.
And yet, but look, he is the president of the United States. I'm sorry. It is sad. It is a sad day in our history that someone can behave, can lie, can separate mothers from their children, that kids can't go to school and feel safe. That's the place they should feel safest.
Yes. Yep.
You know, and just, I mean, if any other president said the things that we've heard him say, calls people names on Twitter, it
right.
Like, we're not even talking about politics now. We're talking right. about that he's a horrible human being. And it hurts even more
right.
for me because I'm from New York. So we've known this about him forever. We've had to live with his crap forever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's like the fact that you are acting like you're so moral, like that whole moral majority and the evangelicals and like, you know, they're okay with him paying, you know, paying off porn stars.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand.
And the phone calls with Putin and oh my God.
Right, right.
Hello, he doesn't even pay like his workers. He's a horrible person. Like he's a bad person. He doesn't have any love for this country at all. He has yeah. one love and it's looking in the mirror.
Right.
And that's sad right there.
As a New Yorker, I just read an yes. article over the weekend yes. about Donald Trump Jr. potentially running for mayor of New York. Would he stand a chance being mayor of New York? That can't be right.
Oh, no. He thinks he is like so emboldened and he thinks no one's going to vote for him.
Yeah.
No. I mean, there are going to be some people that yeah. vote for him. But yeah.
his dad enough. Will vote for him. Will yeah. he?
Maybe.
What did you just say? Ask that. Yeah, of course his dad's going to vote for him
if
yeah.
he could take the time to go out
right.
and vote.
But he's yeah, you know, like he. It, you know what they are? They encompass everything everyone hates about America. You know, like just that cheap. You know, no substance, all just show, and I mean. Oh, I can't believe I still can't believe he's president.
But if he ran on the platform of, I'm the greatest deal maker the world has
right,
ever seen.
Right.
But now we find out from these tax returns that he was the exact opposite, that he was claiming
we
more
all
losses
knew that.
Than
he had
else.
10% of the vote in New York. So we all know that yeah. he is, I mean, everyone who worked for him knew that what a liar and a cheat he was.
Yeah.
Trump steaks, Trump vodka,
Trump
casinos,
University.
Casinos. Who loses money at a casino?
Right.
That's like handing someone a bank.
Right. Right.
You know?
Right. So how much of this, when people come to see you at Zanies or other venues, how
are
much...
Are you political at all?
We've seen
no, not
some
at all.
Of this,
you know, I really don't let it... I love these people who are like, oh, I don't read the newspaper. It's too depressing.
Yeah.
I'll do a couple up front because I'll be so angry that, and then I get it over with.
Have you had audience members?
Oh, absolutely.
Some blowback, yeah.
I've had gigs canceled. This the whole
really.
Oh, it's really bad out there for comedians
yeah.
because you know how. All right, you know you did stand up
yeah.
like you. Every president was fair game.
Sure.
Every president. Clinton was like a gold mine.
Yeah.
You know. We George W. Bush, Reagan, Carter,
forever.
Everyone, Obama, everyone.
Yeah.
It is like a cult. You can't even say anything, and they get up. They you know they'll say whatever they want.
Right.
You know they'll you know, but the audience is usually on the comedian side. Thank
yeah,
God.
Right.
But you know, like you know how when you go on stage, at, you know the MC will bring you up and be like, hey, beloved, you know,
yeah.
and then you have a little thing with them, like hey, and you'll say like, oh, how are they? Or
yeah.
I hate you or whatever.
sure.
Now it's like there's some Trump supporters in the back.
Oh, or, really?
Yes.
Oh, they warn you?
They have no sense. You really, I think with him, you really realize how much the president, you know, sort of feeds into the way people feel in this country
right.
and how they behave.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Even the white supremacist said there would have been no Charlottesville if it wasn't for him. We feel powerful now.
Yeah.
That we have a... I just...
Don't you just feel it, though, on the roadways when you're driving or when you're shopping or where you are?
People are so miserable.
Everyone's irritable.
Yeah, and he's a miserable... You ever see him, like, when he walks to the plane? He's like... Bleh, 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 you know? Remember all the other presidents be, like, waving,
right.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Head up.
You know? Calling people low IQ. I mean, he didn't even... Like, I'm into the military. Okay, then you should have paid taxes to support the military, Mr. Bonespur liar. I just are,
I know.
Can't. Three marriages, cheating.
I know. Judy Gold is
How
here, everybody.
How else are you doing?
Other than that, you know, my blood pressure.
Has it been all right?
Fantastic.
All right.
Well, yeah, because you just purged it right now.
It's just, I can't. And women's rights.
Like, oh, that makes me crazy. That's why, you know, if you wake up in the middle of the night and to go to the bathroom, yeah. All right, sometimes it happens when you get older.
Right.
I make the mistake of looking at my phone then and see all my alerts.
No, you can't
and
do
then
it. You
I'm
can't
screwed.
Do it.
I can't
you
fall
can't
back
do
asleep.
It. You can't do it. But this, you know, when I think my mother passed away in 2015, and when I think of what her generation, she died at 93,
yeah.
went through to get women legal, yep. You know, abortions and health care, you know. That you know what they need? This is what I think. You're looking at your paper like we have to go.
Not well.
We're going to have to take a break. Should we take a break and then come back and you can tell us what we need to do?
Well, everyone's going to shut off the.
Oh my God, they will come back.
Okay. They will absolutely come back. Right. Judy Gold is here. Yeah. She's performing at Zany's and is midway through a story. So you don't want to miss the punchline to the story, do you? Of course
not. I don't know if there's a punchline.
Come back. The ending of the story. No yes. punchline, just the ending. That's coming up next. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy and WGN. Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder. Judy Gold is our guest. She's a comedian performing at Zany's. I got to warn you, she's kind of shy. It takes a while, but you don't have to be so shy, Judy. There's no reason for that.
I'm sorry.
You were saying.
Okay, this is.
Do you remember?
Yes.
All right,
yes.
Good.
This is what I think, and then we can stop the politics. I mean, everyone, you can't talk about politics anymore when you used to be able to, like,
right.
just make jokes.
Right.
But, so, as a gay, mm-hmm. as you know, I'm gay, don't mm-hmm. pass out. Mm-hmm. So Edie Windsor, remember, I don't know if you know Edie Windsor, she went through when she was the plaintiff in the federal marriage case, you know, marriage equality case, mm-hmm. right? She, an older woman, she was an IBM executive, she was the nice, all right, anyway, so she was with her partner for 47 years.
Yeah.
And she had to go to Canada with her wife. Eventual wife had MS and was paraplegic. She had to get on a plane, go to Canada. They parked in the right there. They went to the hotel in the airport, got married with three aides, you know. And meanwhile, they contributed so much. One was a doctor. And she went before the Supreme Court because she got this, you know, bill in the mail after her, you know, wife of 40 whatever years. Well, no, they weren't married. They were only married for a couple of years because gay marriage
couldn't get. Yeah.
She gets a federal inheritance tax bill of $363,000, and it's like, I'm not paying this. You know, because the federal government did not acknowledge. New York acknowledged the marriage, but the federal government.
Didn't.
So she goes in front of the. Meanwhile, you know, Britney Spears can get married for 3 minutes. You know,
right.
Jerry Sandusky's married.
Right.
Eric and Lyle Menendez get married in jail.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so she goes before the Supreme Court. And it's like, there's this older woman, brilliant, you know, and saying, and it's a tax thing. So it's like a whole, it's very Republican. And it's, you know, like, why should I have to pay tax? And she wins. And we get marriage equality. And I feel like that. With the women's right to choose, we need an older woman who saw her friends die, have botched abortions in back alleys and on kitchen tables, be the spokesperson. Because you cannot argue with an 80-something, 90-something-year-old woman saying,
right.
you know, we're not going to go back.
Yeah. Right, right.
Because they have been through this. You know, you talk to that generation, it's amazing. Like, what happened?
Right.
What
happened? No, you're right. You're right.
Yeah. So that's
a great idea, though.
You know?
Yep.
Like, get these older women. Someone needs to do a documentary. All right. I'm doing it.
Yeah. I was just going to say, you're...
About, you know, we'll get your daughter.
Yeah.
About, you know, these stories of... It, you know, and Planned Parenthood, like
I'm a fan of Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood is a great thing.
It's a primary caregiver to low-income women.
It's not just giving out birth control.
It's hardly any time. They hardly do abortions.
Sure. Right.
And no one gets up and is like, you know, I am free this afternoon. I think we'll have an abortion. Like, that's... that's what they act like.
It is not. Most people don't want to have them, but it's your choice. And if you don't want to have one, don't.
Right. Exactly.
That's
called a choice.
Yep.
Right.
It's a choice.
Judy, we need to make sure we have enough time for you to give your pumpkin loaf recipe. I don't want to miss that.
Oh, I love pumpkin
it's
bread.
Very important.
Oh, my God. Pumpkin bread is so good.
Is that good?
Yeah, but do they make it in the...
No, summer. This isn't a good season.
No, you can't have it yet. We'll
you gotta go banana
like
bread.
Or zucchini bread.
Oh, yeah. I love the garden. Zucchini bread.
I don't know if anyone has told you this before, but I was talking to some friends of mine. The show, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Oh, no
on.
One ever asked me about
and that. And somebody said, that's patterned after Judy, isn't it? And I said, I don't think it's patterned
after her.
But there's some similarities.
It's patterned after Joan Rivers stand-up. Her stand-up is patterned after Joan, but that whole story, it could be patterned after my mother because she grew up like, you know, in an apartment on the Upper West Side. And I called my aunt and I was like, was that your like apartment? She's like, yeah, it might be a little bigger, but that, because like my parents were married in that apartment.
Really?
You know? But it's so funny because people are like, have you ever seen Mrs. Maisel? And I'm like, no, I've never seen it. And then, or you should be on Mrs. Oh, really? Let me fill out an application, you know? But so you know how like in Mrs. Maisel, she goes to parties and starts doing stand-up?
Yeah.
Like people are calling my agent, like, would she do a show in our living room? No! I'm not doing a show in your living room. Like, that never happened. Have you ever been to a party where someone starts telling jokes and everyone's like, well, let's just stop the party?
It used to happen on the Dick Van Dyke Show all the time.
Right.
Remember? They'd entertain and everybody would play the banjo or sing or something.
Right, because it was a fake television show.
Yeah,
but
true.
I do like the
you enjoy the show?
Mrs. Maisel.
I have never seen a minute of it. I'm
sorry.
You
would love it, Wendy. You would love it.
It's so good. Like, I just love looking at old New York and all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like escaping.
There was that 3-episode swing where they were at the Catskills.
Yeah, I didn't see that one yet.
Oh, so good.
Yeah,
so
but, good. You know, I'm writing this book about freedom of speech and everything. And when
I've
I think
this.
About, I have a whole chapter on Lenny Bruce and Richard Pryor and George Carlin. She never would have cursed, you know, on stage. Like, there's some things that are just unrealistic.
Right.
But it's a good fantasy.
Yeah.
And if you listen to really old Joan Rivers, like beginnings, the cadence interval, you can really tell that it's, you know, and it's so funny to watch, you know, women are so self-deprecating. That's how they had to always begin their acts.
Yep.
Like,
right.
I know I'm a piece of crap, but here are my jokes.
Right. Yeah. We just had an author on, Judy, about a month ago who wrote a book about funny women and who's contributed most, and you're featured prominently.
I am?
Yes, you are.
Let me find out the name of that book.
Yes, you are.
I love that author.
Jazzy, try and find that so we can let Judy know.
Yeah, there's a nice chapter
get
about you.
Get to work over there. Can I do that in my house? Like, listen, I need that. Can you go get the...
Get a producer.
Yeah.
It's easy.
I have a podcast.
Do you?
What's
the podcast?
Kill Me Now.
Love it.
It's great. Well, you know, I love to know about people's childhoods and everything. Yeah. And then we talk about what pisses them off the most.
Bet there's a lot of stuff going around.
Right. And I'm like, what makes you crazy? Because you know so many people are just so nice and you know something really
something in their past.
Yeah, or anything makes them crazy.
Are you finding patterns the more people you interview? Are you finding patterns in that?
I find a lot of... a lot of it is, you know, people just being unaware that there are other people around them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that happens a lot.
Yeah.
Like with people, like you're walking down the street and you're trying to get somewhere and someone's looking at their or texting. Like when I'm leaving the subway.
Yeah.
And I'm like trying to get up the stairs and someone's just like texting. I'm like, move.
Right. Right.
Just go.
Right.
Or they stand on the very top step and are having a conversation.
Yeah.
Like, one is aware. Ugh.
How about the fact that now, you know, forever, if a cab was picking up a fare, they would just block the lane. But now that everybody's an Uber or a Lyft driver, everybody just blocks the lane.
Right, right.
And too bad
Listen
for you
Listen to
if you're
you two
me.
Kvetching.
Oh, yeah.
I love that kvetching. Yes. Very. Here's the other thing. Why are there tip jars everywhere?
I don't do it. I'm not partaking.
Like, wait, remember when you just got
Bill
paid?
Bill, hide our tip jar.
Yeah, you gotta hide it. Hold on, Judy, one sec.
No, but there are tip jars, like, at the bodega. Like, there are tip jars everywhere. Like, when did that start?
I don't like it. It's called the League of Extraordinarily Funny Women, 50 Trailblazers of Comedy.
And you're in that book,
by Sheila Motion.
Yeah. I love you, Sheila. I'm looking at it. Wait, what's it called?
The League of Extraordinarily Funny Women, 50 Trailblazers of Comedy, Sheila Moshen, M-O-E-S-H-E-N.
And you're in with great company.
Yeah.
Including Marie Dressler.
No.
Yes.
Who's that again?
She was a film star in the 1940s. She was the Judy Gold of the 1940s.
It's a pink book with looks like Lucille Ball's big redhead
funny
on it.
Funny women?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see if this comes up on my...
It's on Amazon.
Oh, my God.
You're in it. And we talked to her, and she had a tough time making decisions because there were people that she wanted to get in, so perhaps there will be a volume two.
Right.
Really good book.
Right.
Oh, my God. I'm in. Look at these people.
Yeah, you're in with great company.
As you should be, Judy Gold.
Judy is performing. Isn't that nice? Judy's performing at Zanies all this weekend. Go to zanies.com for more information.
I love you guys.
Thank you for coming up, Jude.
Oh, my God. I could hang out with you guys all day.
We'll do it again, then.
All right.
All right. All right.
Maybe tomorrow.
More. We'll do it tomorrow. We'll see you tomorrow.
Can't wait to get up early.
More after this. Hide the tip jar, Wendy. Hide the tip jar. More after this. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then he's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard boys, Dean.
He's Dean Richards. We don't have him for long today. It'll be a briefer segment than we usually have. And Dean, I hate to open this with sad news, but I will not be able to attend your Big Bang Theory viewing party tonight. I'm so sorry.
That is.
I'm sorry.
Bill is in our group. Bill is known as when Bill says or does something, it's always that's so Sheldon.
Yeah, everyone always says that. And I always enjoy when people say that.
Yeah, for me,
something came up.
I don't know why. Except for me, something people are like, "Oh, that's so Quipke,"
right?
And they say it like that, like yeah. Over fun,
yeah,
like or like Kripke would say.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Himself.
I don't know.
I'm sad that Big Bang Theory is.
Yeah, it was a great show.
I came on the show late. I didn't get into it maybe till like the third or fourth season.
Mm-hmm.
But I got so addicted to it. It's really very well written and very well, really,
it is.
Really funny.
It is. It's been on for a long time.
There's a severe thunderstorm located over DeKalb near Sycamore as well. 60-mile-per-hour wind gusts and quarter-size hail.
Wow.
So play the slots.
And it looks like we have a severe thunderstorm warning for Kendall and Kane counties until 12:21 p.m.
I heard golf ball-sized hail could be coming our way.
Oh, yuck.
Big. Thanks,
that's
Jen.
Not good.
No. Appreciate it.
This that eclipses my news of the Hamilton closing. Got golf balls flying from the sky.
Right. Right. It changes everything, doesn't it?
They announced today that Hamilton's going to be closing.
When? Because Bill and I are the only ones who've never seen it.
You better get on it. January 5th, 2020.
Oh, we got time.
The final block of tickets are going to go on sale on Friday morning at 10 o'clock.
Dean, why? They're still doing incredible business. Why would they close it?
They want to close it while it's still hot. They want to tour the show. The show that's not here and the cast that's here apparently will not be moving it to another city. But they want to open productions in Milwaukee and other nearby cities. But as it stands right now, the way the contracts are set up, there has to be a certain radius around which a show is protected. So while it's here in Chicago for a certain distance, physical distance, they cannot open another production of it. So I think that that's
Dean,
partially
our high school did that when we did You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown.
You had a radius distance?
Yes.
Protect?
Yes.
Really?
We had to do that. It was legal.
Just for other high schools
right.
Or even professional
any
versions?
Performance of it whatsoever.
Wow.
No one was allowed to.
That's so Sheldon.
12 miles. That is so Sheldon.
We only have a few minutes
oh,
left,
sorry.
Dean, and it bums me out. But.
John Wick,
I know,
chapter
3.
I want
to talk about the dogs that Wendy wants me to. The beautiful puppies. They're on my Facebook page. These beautiful puppies that we were with yesterday.
All right.
That's all we can say about it. Everything's just going to be in three-word sentences today.
All right, that's fine.
Speaking of Hamilton, on television, Miguel Cervantes' wife, Kelly, is going to be on our midday news, and I'm going to go talk with her. She's involved in lots of charities for epilepsy research. They have a little daughter who has a very rare and severe form of epilepsy, and both Miguel and Kelly Cervantes are very involved in different charities. So that's
and super nice people.
Super
we've
nice.
Had them on.
Yeah, and that's why I have to dash off. So let me just tell you,
all right.
The new movies for this weekend, John Wick is
Keanu.
Back. Keanu
Ow.
Reeves.
Mm.
He says a total of 7 words in the movie.
That's
He barely speaks in this movie.
It's all right. You just need to look
Actions
at him.
Actions speak louder than words,
well,
though, Dean.
That's what my mother always told me.
She's right.
She's never doubt her. It's John Wick Chapter 3 Parabellum. He's got a $14 million bounty on his head, and every super assassin just like him are trying to get him in order to get the money. There is literally no story to this movie at all. It is one fight sequence after another. It's stabbing and gouging and shooting and stabbing, one after another, all beautifully choreographed. It's like watching the Olympics. It's like watching tumbling or something at the Olympics. But that's all there is to it. So I appreciate that. It's extremely violent and bloody. I gave it Dean's List C+. There's this new dog movie that's out. That's why we had all the puppies here yesterday, A Dog's Journey.
With an old Dennis Quaid. He looks pretty old.
Yeah, well, he's playing a grandfather in this movie, so that's part of it. And the story about a dog who is reincarnated spirit, reincarnated over and over and over into different dogs in order to follow and protect the little girl that he grew up with.
Aww.
So it's very sweet. It's a little bit like a made-for-TV movie, but very sweet. I gave it a Dean's List C. And also a young adult romance with Yara Shahidi from Grownish and Charles Melton, who is on Riverdale. Couple that meet, fall in love in one day, but tomorrow she and her family, who are all from Jamaica, are going to be deported. So what do they do about their romance? Again, it's an okay film, not a great film. I gave that one a Dean's List C as well.
Can I just tell you, I love Detective Pikachu, by the way.
People are loving that movie.
That was the last time we spoke, and I enjoyed it immensely.
Oh, good. Very good. I think people are going to like that. That is so Amy Farrah Fowler of you to say that.
Wasn't it, though? It really was.
What?
That's a character from Big Bang Theory, Wendy. Come on. Dean, have a great weekend. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you in a week.
See you soon. Bye.
That's Dean Richards, guys. All right. We'll take a break and then more show.
All right, coming up, join us on WGN Extra. We'll be talking about what's hot and what's cold, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. And we have a tornado warning in effect for Kendall.
And now it's been added northeastern LaSalle County and south central DeKalb County.
It's coming on quick, isn't it, Jen?
Yeah, this is until 12:30 p.m., but obviously that's moving eastbound. And a tornado was located near Leland, about 7 miles southeast of Shabona.
Is it Shabana? You know why? Orion called to tell us we were correct. Orion, are you there? How do you say it? Shabana.
You say Shabana, right.
It sounds like Shabana.
Yeah. All right.
We used to say Shabona when I was in middle school, so apologies.
No.
Shabana, and what are some surrounding communities with that, Orion?
Well, you would look at Sandwich could be in that area where we go to the fair every year, and a lot of communities in that DeKalb, Kane, Kendall area that would be in that general area.
And no messing around, people. If the siren's going off, get to a low area of your house, not near windows. These tornadoes come through and they totally move willy-nilly. I believe I've heard Tom Skilling say that, willy and nilly.
Those are friends of Tom's, just so you know.
I mean, really, they're, you know, you can predict the pathway, but boy, those things can change. So don't mess around. Don't videotape it. Get to a secure, safe area of your house.
Solid advice.
And Jen, again, the tornado warning has been issued for where and until when?
We're looking at southwestern Kendall County, northeastern LaSalle County, and south central DeKalb County. The tornado was spotted at 11:44, and that's going to continue through 12:30, but we will have updates if that changes.
Thanks, Jen.
Thank you very much. Orion is also coming up later on during the Wintrust Business Lunch. Working out here in Sycamore and heavy downpour, weather update, it's pouring, thunderstorms with lightning in Palatine. I know tornadoes are something to be afraid of.
Sure.
But I have like a complete irrational fear of tornadoes.
You've mentioned this in the past.
So if there's a tornado,
do we know where this comes from?
My dad was civil defense director in Brookfield, and I saw a funnel cloud once over Kiwanis Park. It was just a funnel cloud because it didn't touch down to actually become a tornado, but that can freak you out a little bit when you're a little kid.
Yep.
I just remember the green skies that look like pea soup. and going to Florida, driving through a tornado in the Smoky Mountains. It was just really almost impossible to see with the rain coming down in buckets. My cousin Susie was driving, and I know a lot of people say, oh, you know, it's the calm before the storm. It's like when it stops raining, that's when you should worry. That's not true. There is no absolute way for it to happen. A lot of times you'll see footage of tornadoes, and it's pouring like crazy.
Yeah.
So if you hear those sirens, I'm telling you,
cover.
Oh my God, I have a flashlight that is fully stocked with batteries. I have a cell phone charger that's ready to roll.
I got the light stick from the BTS concert the other night, so I'm going to try to coordinate it with the lightning.
I have a crank up radio.
Do you really?
Yeah, I am not messing around.
Wow, you're ready for everything.
And the worst day ever was there was a tornado warning where we live out in LaGrange, and the siren was going off. Jim was at work in Aurora, where it was also pretty bad, and he called. He's like, "Are you guys going down in the basement?" I'm like, "Yes, you get in the basement over there." The boys and I go down and sit on the stairs in the basement with the dog Tiki, and all of a sudden our basement just starts flooding.
Really?
It comes up to like calf high, and we are just sitting there dodging the water by sitting on the stairs, and that's when I called PermaSeal and said, I am never going to have this happen again.
Right.
We have not had a drop since then.
Oh, good.
But whenever there's a tornado warning, my family laughs at me. I'm the first one down in the basement with my hand crank radio and my flashlight.
Yeah, wow.
I'm like screaming at them, right. Come down.
Get down here now.
But just don't mess around, people.
Yep.
Seriously. We'll keep you posted on everything. No need to go anywhere else. And we will keep you posted on the stream because a lot of people listen to us on WGN Extra Live as it happens as well.
All right. That's fair. That's all fair. They knew this was coming. There were warnings of this the last couple of days, but it just seems to be coming down really fast, doesn't it? Is it normally this fast?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's weird because now they can predict, like you hear a day in advance where you'll hear, oh, storms can be very serious tomorrow. In fact, there may be some tornadoes.
Yeah.
In the old days, you never predicted something in advance.
I don't remember that.
I know.
Yeah, that's a newer technology, I guess.
A tornado watch says that conditions are favorable for it to happen. A warning is that one has been spotted and is headed your way.
Right.
I'm delivering mail in Kendall County and Yorkville. The sky is dark greens. Winds picked up. We haven't gotten rain yet, but the sky is awful. And then the best question ever, would Wendy grab her purse or bill first during a tornado?
That's a solid question.
What's
your purse, yeah.
It's a camo bag. I got it on Etsy. It was like $300.
I mean, people need to know who you are, right?
Right. So. That's true. Good point, Jen.
Got to grab your ID.
Yep.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, I am not a professional broadcaster in the sense that I would stay here on the 18th floor. If there was a tornado warning right here in the city, which it could happen, I am out of here.
Right.
Okay, that's all I'm saying.
Wouldn't your best option, though, to be in the stairwells because of all the steel and concrete?
Yes.
Good point, Jen. Bottom line is you got to get away from windows. And when you hear of injuries and deaths involved in tornadoes, it's most of it is from flying debris.
Yeah, and that's all we have right here.
Yeah.
Floor-to-ceiling windows.
Yep.
Yeah.
We're in the danger zone.
Tom Skilling should be proud if he's listening, because I'm telling you, everything he says, I like just absorb it like a human sponge, and then I'm able to regurgitate it. It's kind of like sports radio, but now it's weather radio.
Yeah.
You know how, like, you listen to sports radio, all they do is just repeat what the other caller just said, and they have a cool nickname?
Right. So you're like that with Tom. Whatever he says sticks in your head, and then you share it with everyone. That's great.
But I'm here to help. So is he. This is tornado season. And if I got to tell you guys, we have done something to really irritate Mother Nature, because these storms and this weather fluctuation getting way worse. I don't mean to be the Debbie Downer.
It seems like there's more extreme weather now than ever before. It seems like.
And we're just entering into tornado season. So not saying I'm irrationally afraid or anything.
Right.
Even though my voice is quivering.
But.
Well, just.
I get
it. Let's take care of our environment and the world. And the world's mad at us.
Thank you, Captain Planet.
I would love that.
Do you remember him? Remember Captain Planet?
What was that from?
It was a cartoon guy who said essentially what you just said. Those were almost identical to his words.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe I sucked in his information, too, like a human sponge. What cartoon was he on?
A show called Captain Planet.
Really? He had his own thing?
He had a very tight jaw.
Oh, he really looks like a superhero, yeah. Big time. I expected Captain Planet to be almost a little rotund, like he looked like the globe.
Like the planet Earth?
Yeah.
No, he was in pretty good shape. He worked out a lot.
Yeah. All right, coming up, the stories that matter, including the updated weather forecast with Jen DeSalvo. She is in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.